The following audio is from Cross Life Church in Tampa, Florida. We are a church that exists to help people find Christ, their place in the body, and their mission to the world. Our calling is to raise leaders and plant churches. So if you live in the Hudson area or near Wesa Chapel, you can also check us out at one of our other locations. For more information, visit us at crosslife.net.
You notice that we're not in a hurry to get through 2 Timothy because there's just so much stuff in there. Matter of fact, verses 1 through 5, we could spend several messages looking at it from a lot of different ways, a lot of different angles, because there's just a lot to be said. So if you're there, let me just read it. You can follow along. It says, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." That's 20 things. "Having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, avoid such people." So when I started looking at this, I thought about in the last days, I think that they're going to be difficult in my mind, what I see, for two reasons. The first is because of the disposition of the people. Because of the human condition. So in the last days, these particular characteristics, traits, or behaviors are going to come to the forefront. And as you read through that, you can kind of see that. And so I was just curious, you know, as we read through these and you read through them in the past, and what are some of the first things that come to your mind when you think about these verses? All right, well, let me ask you this question. What word is used most in these verses? Love. And depending on your translation, it could be anywhere from 4 to 6 times. My translation that I read from is 5. I read out of another translation that was in there 6 times. But let's kind of think through this. Let me just read these 5 in sequence. In the last days, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, not lovers of good, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I just saw this progression. Themselves, money, not the good, pleasure, not God. Themselves, money, not good, pleasure, not God. And I think if it, bottom line in it, and you just took the first and the last of these loves, in the last days, it's going to be difficult because men will be lovers of themselves, some of your translations, more than, or rather than, God. So these verses, they begin with man's love of self and they end up with this lack of love toward God. So their love of self with all of its associated evils. So their love of self with all their with all its associated evils shuts out any genuine love for God. And, you know, we really get to see this. We see it in the nation of Israel. When they wanted what they wanted and not what God wanted, it just began to open up a whole lot of other evils. So the love of self, money, not the good, pleasure, not God, and all those other things in between. And let's just look at the in-betweens. Proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, slanderous, brutal, treacherous, reckless. See, I think that what we don't get sometimes when we think about going down a certain pathway, it leads certain places. See, that's, you know, you hear, we think about this when we think about straight is the gate, narrow is made narrow is way. One leads a way to life. The other one does not lead a way to life. It leads to places and things that are not advantageous for an individual. See, they lead away from the things of God. So in the last days, men are going to put their own personal devotion, their devotion to self, above their devotion to God and others. And we're going to get to that. See, love for God and others is not going to be a controlling influence or motive in their life, in most people's lives in these last days. I like how Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 24, verses 10 through 12, and Jesus is speaking specifically about the signs of the end of time. And he says this, Keith alluded to it. He said, at that time, many will turn away from the faith. In other words, they will turn away from their believing and trusting in God and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Verse 12, he says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of many. How many have most in your Bible? The love of many or the love of, how many have the love of most? That's in some translations. The love of many or the love of most will grow cold. See, because of the increase of wickedness, iniquity, unrighteousness, because men will not do what is right, because they'll refuse to walk in the ways that God has laid out for them, because it will ignore or refuse to live a life that brings honor to God, because men will do what is right in their own eyes, the love of many will grow cold. And I see something here that we might miss. He says the love of many will grow cold, and that love is not filio, it's agape, God love, the love that God is. That love. That love of God that not only affects our life, but affects our lives, how we treat others. See, we're supposed to be loving God. We're supposed to be loving others. See, that love, because of all the wickedness and the division and the divisiveness, that love will begin to decrease. And it will keep declining. Here he says it will grow cold, because what men will do is they will put themselves first, and because they put themselves first, all these other associated evils will just begin to be a part of their life. And we'll just watch it increase, and it's going to be there more and more. So in these last days, as these last days keep approaching, people will stop loving God and stop loving others. Now think about this for us, because, you know, what is the clear call for us as believers? You know, what are the two things that we're called to do above everything else that everything hangs on? We're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbors as ourself. And I can tell you right now, in our culture today, what they need most is that from us. Because in the last days, because men will put themselves first, they'll focus on gaining material possessions, they will, and here's a good translation of this, they will not be content with what is good. Actually, they won't be content with what God says is good. And what will happen is, because they will not be content with what is good, they will pursue selfish pleasure rather than finding contentment with God and what God says is good. Now, this, I looked at this phrase, lovers of pleasure, is from the Greek word hedon, which gives us our English word hedonism. And if you know what that is, it is a doctrine that says that pleasure or happiness is the sole or chief good in life. Well, we know that that is not true. Which is the catechism, Tom, that says about the duty of man? Yeah, what is the chief end of man? Glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And I like that because in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, so, you know, this is Solomon. From what our scriptures say, he was the wisest man that ever lived or would ever live. That's in the scriptures. And so he writes, and when he's writing through Ecclesiastes, he's talking about man and life in their relationship with God. Here's what he says. The end of chapter 12, he says, now all that has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. And when I read that again, I never thought about this, but this, you know, here is why we need to keep daily accounting with God. Right here, thinking about these verses right here. See, because the antidote for putting yourself first, for keeping away from this destructive pathway that you can get on if you do put yourself first, and then all these other evils just begin to mount up and begin to influence your life in a particular direction, the antidote for that is the fear of God. Our fear of God and our loving God, and our loving God entails not just loving Him, but loving others. Now, here's a fun fact you may not know. You don't have to choose between God and pleasure. It's not a choice that you have to make. So you don't have to choose between God and pleasure. Matter of fact, Psalm 16:11, this is what David said. You made known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures evermore. That's interesting. Let me just take a little sidebar here. Just think about human pleasure, all the human pleasures. Pleasure of, just put them all out there. You could pair them all back and you could put them in a category that God said He would give humanity. Peace, joy, contentment, intimacy, all those things that God created that are in us. They can be found through honoring God with your life because He'll give you those things. So David said that. He said, listen, you've revealed this path of life to me. It is so good, and I find this joy, this fullness in my life, and I realize that at your right hand are pleasures evermore. Job chapter 36, verse 11 says this, if people obey and serve Him, if people obey and serve Him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Let me just briefly, you know my life before and everything I chased and everything that I really wanted and dreamed of and could imagine, I've found in a relationship with Jesus. As I have pursued Him, I find those things. So I see the thing is that you don't have to choose between God and pleasure. Unadulterated, the pure, the holy thing that God has put in your life, God will grant intimacy and peace and joy and love and security, all those things. But listen to me, you do have to choose between the love of pleasure over the love of God. Because if you seek for yourself and you seek pleasure, that will not lead you to where you need to be. So what you have to do is you do have to choose. And that is you do have to choose Him. And so I got to looking at this. So in Psalms chapter 16, verse 11, let's just back up in the psalm a little bit to verse 5. Because David really says a lot in this psalm, and I'm going to read it to you. He says, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. And let me just interpret a little bit this idea of boundary lines, these borders that David said, these borders, this place in which you have given me to live. This pathway you have marked out for my life. The pathway that he has marked out for our life. See, this righteousness, I've said it so many times, righteousness, if you define it from the Old Testament, you can't just define it from the New Testament. You got to go back to the Old Testament to define it. It says a way that has been laid out. See, God has laid out a way. God has set these boundary lines. God has set this path for us to walk on. And David said, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Verse 7, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With Him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. See, you make known to me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures evermore. So what we need to do is what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, is righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. I love the verse. I can't remember where it's at right now for some reason, but it says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. See, I go seeking pleasure for myself, and all these other things will come because I'm putting me ahead of God. And there's a lot of other things that come with that. But if I seek Him first and He adds it to my life, the blessing of the Lord. Listen, all of you in here, and especially those that are younger, this is a truth. I'm just going to, for me, I'm going to testify to this truth, just like David did. I can tell you for sure, for sure, for sure, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. I've never in my entire life regretted laying my life down. Hey, there's you like you and me. There's sometimes I followed Jesus and it didn't. I'm going, whoo, that's not too good. And I thought, why did I do that? But that whole idea of the pruning, purging process in my life, that God is taking the junk out of my life for this express purpose, to put the good things in my life. See, I learned through, I was verses 1 through 4. Because 5 was never in my deal. 5 was never, I never had a form of godliness, just so you know. But I was all those other things. But since I've come to Christ, man, if I would have died 10 years ago, my life would have been rich and full. You know, we're singing these songs this morning about the blood of Jesus and more love to you. I'm just thinking about who God is and what He's done and the richness that we really have in life because we have determined to follow Him. And so it's going to get tricky in the last days because we're going to have so much of this, so much of it that we're going to want to think, you just pull back. Hey, these are not days to pull back in loving God and loving other people. These are the days that it needs to go forward more. Okay, the second reason that it's going to get tricky in the last days, the second reason that the days are going to be difficult is that men will have a form of godliness. They're going to maintain this facade of religion. They will keep up an outward appearance of godliness. They will appear to have a godly life. I mean, this is the second reason why it's going to be difficult. Because, I mean, you see all that in who you're supposed to follow, who we're supposed to believe. And I think it's important to see this, that with your flesh, you can put an outward show of godliness all you want, while in fact never having any true spirituality. For me, it's the fruit test. I meet lots of people. I have, because of the stuff that I do with our district, I have to sit in meetings with boards and leaders and pastors and groups of pastors and talk through all kinds of stuff. And I'm very acutely in tune, not just to what they say, but to watch them. And over a course of time, when I sit on leadership meetings and I listen to and I watch their leaders, I'm looking for particular things. Not this. I'm trying to see or hear this. I'm looking for fruit. Because Jesus said, here's how you're going to know them. By their fruit. Because there's going to be a lot of people that just appear to honor God with their lives. And that's tricky because they're going to seem, it's going to seem like. So, you know, it's tricky because you have to think, well, who are we going to listen to? Who are we going to follow? Who is really setting this example of outward and inward life honoring toward God? And, you know, that's why there's so many admonitions in Scripture about all this. Many are going to speak of that. Here's a thought. Many speak of God and live in sin. And they are comfortable with that arrangement. That's just a huge indicator for me. Now, let me just say, I understand that you're over here and you receive Christ, you repent, you turn, and you're walking toward God, and there is this progression of your life becoming more in line to the image of the Son of God. And I understand that there's progress, but for many, they're here, and they're living a particular way, and they have no intention on going that way. But they have this outward appearance that would say to you that they have this relationship, this godly life, or this goodness in their life. And that is, Jesus talks about it in Matthew chapter 23 that Keith alluded to, 23, 25 through 28. He says, these are the ones who are supposed to be the setting and the example of what it looks like to live a godly life, and that is the scribes and Pharisees. And he says to them, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You're clean on the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside you're full of greed and self-indulgence. I'm sure that they weren't happy about all that. You're blind, Pharisees. First clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside may also be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Now, not all of them were that way, but in a general way, he was going, hey, all of you, if you're like this, then this is who you are. You are whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but inward you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Isaiah describes it this way when he says, those people that claim to worship me, but their words are meaningless, and their hearts are somewhere else. Their true religion is nothing but human rules and traditions, which they have simply memorized. See, there will be this. I think we got to catch this. There's going to be more of this in the last days. More of the attitude of humanity and the disposition and behaviors in humanity. And there's going to be more in this where it's going to be harder to see through to find, you know, if anything in these days, we need people that are going to stand in the faith, trusting and believing what God has said. They are going to be living out the gospel in their life. Paul said to Timothy, listen, Paul did not say, Timothy, follow me. He said, Timothy, follow me as I am following Christ. In other words, you should be able to see these things in my life as I'm walking this life. Listen, if you're here and I start going away and I take a hard left, y'all need to leave. Quit listening. Quit following. Matter of fact, you just need to go to Tom and Larry those guys. You know, you need to go to the DLT and say, you need to get that guy out of here. Actually, you would never have to do that. My wife would just, that would never happen. I have the next best thing to the Holy Ghost living with me. See, it says that, so these, here's, I'm talking about, you know, you'd be able to know them by their fruit. It says that they will have an outward appearance of a godly life, but deny its power. And that is super, it is ability, but it is supernatural ability to transform a life. They deny the power of the gospel. They deny the power of living a godly life. They deny the power, listen to me, they deny the power of the gospel. So they deny the truth. They deny the power that is in, Father, forgive me, come into my life and help me honor you with my life. Help me take the steps and live the way that I want to live. Because when you begin to do that, there is something that takes place in your life right here. He breaks the power of sin in your life. He puts a spirit in you. You have this unction of the Holy Ghost. You have the Spirit of God speaking to you. You have ministering angels ministering to you that give you this supernatural ability to live differently than what you once lived. They reject, they refuse that. They don't want to have anything to do with that. So they're who they really are contradicts what you see on the outside. There's just this facade of religion. They will not let the power of godliness to change them because, like I just showed, the power of God is shown in the Holy Spirit, and the result is a transformation for those who yield to it. I don't know how you do this, but often, I'm talking about these daily accountings. I need to keep asking myself, am I embracing the life-changing power of the gospel in my life? Can I be honest? Sometimes, yeah, I don't want to do that. My flesh likes to stick up its big ugly head and say, whoa, 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 no, 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 I want what I want. Which the Holy Spirit says, yeah, just so you know, that's not going to work. Which caused me to analyze what I'm doing. Am I disregarding its ability to change my life, to completely change my life? So I'm confronted this just like you are. And I think this word deny is interesting because it's a really strong word that Paul chooses, because it implies that they know and yet they have decisively rejected the truth. And it's in the perfect tense. So it indicates that they are in a permanent, this is important for us to know, because who are we supposed to avoid? Are we supposed to avoid a brother or sister because they're in a struggle? That's not what that says. So I need us to be clear. See, the perfect tense indicates that they are in a permanent state of denial. Simply stated, they are not believing, they're not born again, they're not a spiritual individual. See, at some point in the past, they have denied the power of a godly life. They've denied the power of godliness, and they still continue to do it by the way they live. From those, avoid those people. So, I mean, it's because sometimes we can read these and we think, oh, well, he's a little bitter. I need to avoid him. or he's a little whatever, or she's a little whatever. No, he's talking about a specific type of people here. From these, turn away, don't associate. See, the thing we need most, again, is example of those who are really living out the gospel in their life, that will love God and love others, those that will honor God with their life by living the life he's called them to. And this is really what Paul is aiming Timothy toward. This is what is needed most living in these last days. Let me just end with this story. So on Friday, we're all talking, and Doug, we're all in the conversation, and it brings up a situation that happened to him many years ago. And he's in Bosnia. The war ended, but they're on a peacekeeping mission, and he's there, and he's in charge of all the troops that are in Bosnia, knowing where they are, keeping peace. Because there are these warring factions that are there. And he works with an elderly lady that's a native there, and she goes, "I don't know why you guys are here, because when you leave, they're just going to start killing each other again." So this is in his mind, and I don't know how long a time it's been since that happened, and they're out in their Humvee, and they're riding along the Humvee. They're going from village to village to keep peace. And he's in the front seat talking to someone else, and he goes, "What are we even doing here? I mean, seriously, we leave, they're going to kill each other. What are we even doing here?" And he's got a private? Paco. Hears the conversation, he pops down, and he goes, "Sarge, we bring hope." Man, I don't know about you, but that's just hitting me strong. See, while we're here, we bring hope. And we bring hope because of the love and the kindness and the forgiveness. Because we continue to move forward all the things that God knows humanity needs. We're moving forward the love of God. We're moving forward loving people. Hey, one day we're not going to be here any longer, and that's going to be that. And it's just going to be crazy. While we're here, we bring hope.